Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
This is the Almost Famous Podcast. Yes, we're breaking down episode 8 of Joey's season of The Bachelor. It's hometown week. Yeah, there's four women left. Some twists, some turns. But to get started, Ashley, you sent me a text that said you were crying watching Kelsey A's hometown date. I didn't ask why, because I want to stay curious
why?
On here.
Why? Because it's obvious as heck.
Tell us what hit you the most.
Oh my gosh, so much of it. Obviously, her talking about her mom is really emotional. I think that what hit me the most was just like her talking to her dad about the love that he had with her mom. And then that moment where she said, I think I love him. And then her dad goes, I love you. And it was just like, I can't stop dripping water from my eyes. It was just so sweet. And like, to me, there was just that. Well, like, he looks at Kelsey differently than he looks at everyone else. And he loved that family and that hometown more than anything else.
Yeah, it was a really special hometown. There was a couple. I mean, I think all of these were special in their own way. It was a good hometown episode. There's something really cool about hometowns, Ashley, and you hear it from people who have been through it. You know, you have all this emotion kind of building up for weeks now, where you have talked about your family, you've talked about maybe some of the harder parts of your life, you talked about some of the better parts of your life, you've talked about your family or your close relationships a lot, and you start to miss them because you're putting words to things you felt that maybe you've never expressed. And everybody does it, right?
Yeah.
And hometowns is this moment where you see everybody for the first time and it just kind of all comes spewing out. I also think that's why we see a lot of emotions during hometown week. I don't know Kelsey's relationship. I don't know Daisy's relationship. I don't know Rachel's relationship. And I don't know Maria's relationships outside of this episode with their family and what they've told us this season. But I will say, oftentimes in life, we neglect or maybe we assume that people know how we feel about them. And I think every hometown episode, there's these moments where we see somebody express something or communicate something to somebody that it almost feels like it's maybe the first time because they're able to articulate their feelings really well because they've been thinking about it for a long time.
And they've been going through bachelor, like emotional boot camp. Yeah.
And so Kelsey A's date or hometown date and this moment with her father felt like that to me, where I'm sure he knows that Kelsey loves him. And I'm sure he knows that Kelsey loves her mom. And I'm sure he knows all of these things, but it did feel like this like breakthrough moment kind of where they're going to walk out of that conversation like with confidence and knowing how everybody feels about them. And I think that's a really cool thing about these dates. And for me, it's a really fun part of these dates is just for everybody to walk out being like, I know how you feel about me. I know how much you respect me. And that's maybe what made me emotional watching Kelsey's date was just like the fact that her dad had those words said to him from his daughter. And then his daughter was able to express those words to her dad. So she'll never doubt, did I tell dad enough how much I loved him or how much I respect him?
I'm talking about when she said to him, I feel I am in love with Joey.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay. Like, you mean the way that she was able to express that to her dad?
All of it. So comfortably. The whole thing. Yeah. The whole thing. Like, the whole thing.
Also, there was something about the dad's warmth and openness towards Joey that I really appreciated because you guys know after listening to this podcast for so many years that, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, the story, the whole, like, protect the, I don't want to getting hurt, like, blah, blah thing is like gets old for me because again, maybe it's just like something that I can't relate to as much, but it's like always about like guarding the heart and protecting and like, don't hurt my daughter. And I like the way that this man just sat down with him and he just seemed like really warm and open to Joey. Seemed like a real future father-in-law, son-in-law moment. And then even when they left, he said something like, she's ready for this. Like, she's ready to be in love. And if she gets hurt, like, she'll make it through. It's like, yeah, exactly. Like, she's going to make it through. And then we saw, of course, with the other families, particularly with Rachel's, who was just like, I don't even know if I want her to go through with this because possible heartbreak. But, you know, like, yeah, possible heartbreak. But in the end, isn't it worth the love?
Well, let's then go to Rachel's because Rachel's hometown date was the next day. Kelsey's A hometown date was just a beautiful time during this episode. And really, when it comes to this whole season, it made a lot of sense that the two of them would continue on past this week. And I agree with you. It did feel like there was just a lot of love in the room, a lot of support in the room. Rachel's hometown date was similar in a lot of ways. It was really fun. There's a lot of good aspects to it, but it did feel, and Rachel even assumed that it was going to be a lot more difficult to go through this hometown date than the others. My big question here, this was not a hometown date that will stand out in the history of hometown dates as a bad one, right? This
was not like so tough. No,
it wasn't as tough as some of the others. Mm-hmm. I just do wonder when your daughter chooses, adult daughter chooses to go on this show, do you not hope that she will be coming to the hometown dates at some point? Because that means that she's around and that love's still, you know, in the air and there's a potential, you know, partnership that could be done. So you hope for this moment, but also you support your daughter's decision to do the show. Like, you know what the show is. Like, there's no surprise on what's happening. And if you're going to be really against the idea that she's coming home with a guy who's also dating other people, I feel like that should have been a conversation way before you sign up.
I think she probably had the conversation and then they're probably like, you may not get that far. She's probably like, I probably won't get that far. And then here they are.
Okay.
And then they were very nice at the beginning. And like, not that they were ever mean, just like the mom was super warm and welcoming when she was doing when he did the Filipino tradition. And then he was eating the pig and everybody was having a blast. And then the mom just got really emotional thinking about the other girls involved. And I think a lot of it has to do with the ex-fiance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they just seem like they were probably really close to him. And maybe like just the family as a whole doesn't really want to go through meeting and losing another potential husband.
We've always given credit to the families on this podcast. It is hard. It's got to be weird. You almost just got to suck it up and go through the motions until the date's done. Because one, there's no convincing probably the person that's on the show, your son or daughter, that they should stop pursuing, this relationship.
Nobody's been convinced out of the relationship because of parents' worries.
Yeah. And it just feels like it does when you are the parents that are a little more protective than others. It does feel like it puts a cloud over that experience a little bit.
Yeah,
it makes, whoever the bachelor or bachelorette is feel a little bit weary. Rachel's hometown date compared to the others did feel like the most, kind of protective. There was nothing that the mom said that I don't agree with, though. There was nothing that the dad said that I don't agree with. I like actually how he said, hey, you have my number. If you want my blessing, you call me at the end. I think that's great.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the happy-go-lucky ones like the Kelseys. Even though it was emotional, it was like really fun and there were a lot of laughs and it was really great to gather. The Daisy hometown, we'll get to next here, obviously was a very uplifting. There was some humor. There was a lot of connection. You got to feel like you understood the family a little bit from that hometown date. You got to understand Daisy a little bit more. I'll be honest, at this point in the episode, Ashley, I thought Rachel was the one going home. I was fully confident. I thought that this was the one, if there was a question, the response from the families from this hometown date, this would have been the one to be like, I don't think they're in for this. And I don't think I can go through this process in the end without their support. And so, Rachel should be the one to go home. That's really where my mind went.
Yeah, I can. He probably got in that car and probably had similar thoughts. He probably thought, okay, well, she's cuspy, she's on the cusp. I don't know where these dates really fell in order of each other. We saw that with her. I feel like almost everybody wasn't actually at their real house in this episode. Did you get that vibe?
Yeah, definitely.
Seems like they were all like little rental homes, and they said with Rachel that they were not going to fly to Hawaii. Like they weren't going to make that flight for this. So it seemed like they were at her aunt's house. And what was weird about this date is that there was no date portion shown. There was just the family time. They didn't have solo time. I'm sure they did, but I just don't think that made cut.
I actually think the party outside.
You think that was like their date portion?
I think so.
Interesting. Okay. And then another thing of note is that we only saw Joey ask Rachel's dad and then Maria's dad for permission to marry, which I thought was interesting considering those were two that I thought were on the cusp in this episode.
It happens every time.
I'm sure he probably asked all four.
He does.
Yeah.
I don't think this is like necessarily even like producer manipulation. You ask all four, you want to, because you don't know how this is going to end at this point. You might have an idea, but you don't really know. And they had responses that we'll talk about. The others might have just been like, hey, go for it. I mean, we did kind of, we saw it with Maria. I think we saw it with Kelsey A, right?
Did he? Maybe he referred to it in a different way.
I feel like we kind of did. Yeah, I think we did. The only one we really didn't see was Daisy's. And I don't know if it would have made sense.
A father talk with Daisy's.
Yeah. So, but I do assume he talked to all of them course. And asked all the fathers the same question.
The There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So like how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
So we go into Daisy's hometown date now. I mean, this is obviously a family that we've heard a lot about based on their support for Daisy, their love for each other, Daisy's excitement to bring the family into this. There was a lot of excitement from Daisy leading up to, you know, walking into that house. Like, this was a great hometown date for me. It was probably the most normal, not normal in terms of like the family acted normal, just like what we expected of a hometown date on The Bachelor. There's really nothing of note outside of her really like validating that her family is a great support system for her going through these times and these trials, that her family really loves her. Like, it, you know, the best, the thing that stood out to me the most was the grandma at the very end said something to Joey, and I forget the exact wording that she said, but I was like, that's exactly what my grandma would say. Like, she said, like, you know, keep going or do your best or something. I was like, that sounds like such a good grandma like statement there.
Yeah, there was just like warm, cozy vibes in that room. And I just really think that like her parents were very likable. Her conversation with her dad was so cute. What did he say that made us laugh?
He said, he's like, what's the worst thing that can happen? You lose your hearing?
Yeah. Or yes. Yeah. I was like, yes. He was just a dad being a dad. Like, just yeah. That was a very authentic moment. And then her mom was very likable, and she was also kind of poking fun at herself for being like, I am in love with him, and like, why is this so hard for me? And then I think her parents were like, this is just, that's just you.
Yeah.
Or like, why is it so hard for you? They were supportive. Again, it was a very supportive vibe in there. It wasn't like an interrogation, which I just, again, really like.
Yeah, I don't know if these hometown dates, and I think we'll see it as time continues on this show and as more people watch and they kind of understand what their kids are getting into. I just don't know if the interrogation technique is necessarily one that will ever come back. I'm sure we'll have a family that tries to throw it out there. I just don't find it helpful. I don't find it to be a good option for the people that have already been a part of the show. I feel like it's not the time or place anymore. I think afterwards, you know, as you get to know this couple on your own and you get to see them live life together is when you can start asking those questions. But the hometown dates that get super, you know, tough, kind of just feel awkward to me, and they do feel misplaced. They tried to set up Maria's hometown as one of those that was going to be really tough, right? They played like the old Italian music behind it.
And well, I think the dad's Greek too. I think she's maybe half Greek, half Italian.
But it was Italian, like it was like mafia music.
Well, yeah, and they had the spaghetti and meatballs out on the table.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, Italian, Greek. I think she has both in her family. Yeah. But that, I mean, Maria's dad, yes, he was a strong figure. He was not tough.
He's a
maybe intimidating.
Ball.
But you can tell that dude just absolutely adores his daughter. And he just wants Joey to know that, yes, she's going to be first. But it was not intimidating.
No. That man is a mushball about his daughter.
Yeah, he really loves her.
It was very cool to adorable. See. But I will say that on this episode with Maria, from the moment they were at Niagara Falls to the ending when he left in the SUV, I was like, it's not there anymore. It's gone. I felt like I thought it was 100% going to be her leaving. You really didn't feel the same? I thought that he was just like, I'm over this. Like, there's too much up and down.
Yeah.
There's too much of a lack of clarity. And I don't think this should freak somebody out, but I think it was alarming to him that she had never taken a guy home at 29.
I think there's a lot of questions. I mean, he did act like he had a lot of questions based on that. I really thought she was going to be around. I didn't see the relationship progressing from this hometown. But I really thought she was still, you know, in the top three for me up until the very last moments of the show. My curiosity comes up. Ashley, do you think if she opens up more to Joey at the hometown, his mind has changed going into the rose ceremony?
I don't. I think it was gone before that last moment when they were sitting at the bench. And he was definitely waiting for her to say it. To say something along the lines of, and I'm falling for you. And of course she said, I choked, just couldn't get it out. And I think that I can't, I go back and forth. I think he wanted her to say it, but I don't think it would have changed things. It was almost like a test.
Yeah, then he didn't want her to say it.
Yeah, maybe he definitely didn't want her to say it when she said it.
Sure, but it's just not fun. Like, there's no way if his mind was made up in that moment that he wanted her to express any more emotion, because it's not an ideal situation when you sit there and you hear these words of vulnerability, and then you know, but you're also going to be going home this week. And I think in his mind, honestly, if I was to play psychic, he was going, I'm glad she didn't say anything.
Are you sure, though? Because in his eyes, it did say, his eyes to me said, I want you to say it.
I think his eyes are saying, don't say it. Don't say
really?
It.
Really? Because then I, when it. He when she didn't say it, I thought he seemed disappointed and like almost, almost annoyed.
I think he might have been annoyed, confused, exhausted.
Exhausted. You know,
I mean, I think exhausted would be kind of our term here as we enter into the last few weeks of the season, is he's really tired. We talked about it last week. He's exhausted. Yeah. He is.
I saw a funny Instagram like reel or memes about that too. I was like, oh, this is exactly what Ben was talking about.
Yeah, he's tired. And so, you know, any more kind of pulling at the heartstrings, any more deep conversations, one, you welcome them, but also they're tiring to you, and you almost celebrate when people hold on to whatever it is they need to hold on to, if you know they're going to be going home, because it means that you don't have to enter into that space necessarily. You don't have to respond to anything. You're tired.
Yeah. And I also think that she couldn't say it because I don't know if she felt it. I think she liked him. I think she liked him as like a boyfriend, somebody to date. I don't know if she was in love with him.
Yeah.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket. You know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the diaper stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
It'll be interesting as we continue to get more conversations from Maria now that she's off the show, kind of where she sees love existing, or if she did feel that love. And she might say she did, and maybe she did.
At the end, she says it at the end at the airport hangar.
But it'll be interesting to kind of hear, you know, if she hasn't brought anybody home and she had a hard time expressing this to Joey, like, what is the hang up there? Or, and that's not a bad thing. I'm curious, like, what is people's journeys of love, or have they actually found love? And if she looks back on her relationship with Joey now and she goes, that is a guy I would want to marry. And so I'm looking for my next Joey. That we've had people come off of the show saying that before. I'm looking for my next person that was like that person. Maria's interviews are going to be really fascinating to me. Well, obviously we've already talked about the rose ceremony comes up next. Maria does tell Joey that she is falling for him, that she's in love with him.
Don't you love the airport hangar moment? Like, this is my favorite rose ceremony. I love it when they do it there. It's so dramatic. Yeah,
it is very dramatic with the big old jets in the background.
Yeah.
The big old jets. And Maria does go home. Shocker for me, not as much for Ashley. So Rachel, Kelsey A, and Daisy are moving on now to overnights. They're going to Tulum, Mexico.
How pissed was Rachel when Maria pulled him aside?
Really mad.
And I get it. The week before, he pulled her aside before a rose ceremony.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you going to say now? You got to say something now? Did you have a whole hometown to say it?
I get it. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I also feel like there is that level of, if you have something to say, say it, because you're going to regret if you don't.
Yeah, I get it. But I do think she said it just in that moment as like a Hail Mary. It was a Hail Mary. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. But yeah, Rachel was not happy. It did show a different side of Rachel that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it. It was real.
I don't think it's a bad. I just think it's a side we haven't seen. We haven't seen that kind of that side of Rachel where she is confronting situations. She didn't really like ever say, Maria, that was ridiculous. How could you do that? She was just like, what are you doing? Stop doing whatever it is you think you need to do at these rose ceremonies. And I'm assuming at that point, too, Rachel was probably wondering if she was the one going home.
I know. She obviously was the sassiest one because I think she knew that she was.
She was. Her stomach was in knots.
Cutting room floor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Her stomach was in knots. Ashley, we go into overnights now in Tulum. For me, it's Daisy and Kelsey A. There's really. Yeah. Like, I'll be shocked if it's anything different than that. I think the Rachel breakup is going to be really emotional. But I think it's very clear at this point who the closest relationships exist with. And I mean, it's really been Daisy and Kelsey A since episode one. Yeah. Like, if we're honest, it hasn't changed. Nothing's switched. There hasn't been any signs, signals. And at this point in the season, there's no like hidden traps outside of one of these women not fully falling for him and leaving him at the altar, which is his biggest concern,
and which has been played up all season long as if it'll happen. And there's a teaser in that scene to the next episode that seemed like could it be happening? Because somebody left a note in his door that said, we need to talk.
Here's the one thing about Joey. I don't understand why he hasn't done it yet.
Well, he hasn't done what yet?
I think he's been a fantastic bachelor. That's not a shock. I don't know why when he's with these women in these moments where they're expressing their feelings for each other, why he doesn't say, hey, I mean, he had the space for it. You know, he mentions all of them now know his biggest fear is that he'll be left at the altar. Why he doesn't ask the question to them, hey, if it is you at the end, where would you stand? Would you say yes to this? And he doesn't ask that question. At least we haven't seen it yet. But I think it would give him some reassurance that, no, these women aren't leaving him.
Maybe he'll do it now. Maybe he'll do it in the fantasy suites.
Maybe he should. He should do it maybe when that
stuff unfolds.
Well, the mics are off and, yeah.
And then we always have these blank spaces after fantasy suites. Like, what was said in there that didn't make any sense to us audience members?
Yeah.
Speaking of moments that didn't make sense to audience members, the Leslie switch. We all remember Leslie going into the fantasy suite as like Gary's front runner. Well, she's back and she seems to be mentoring Kelsey. And we have a couple of the other golden ladies coming back to, you know, give advice to the girls. They are milking the Golden Bachelor cast as much as they possibly can.
It's
very cute. So we shall see how next week unfolds. You guys know this is like my very favorite part of the season, hometowns and on. It's so, so good. Yeah. Can't wait for the drama.
Uh-huh. I did stop in and see Joey this week during the filming of this season.
Oh, you mean this coming week? You were actually present
For hometown week, I was there. Got to talk hometown to him about the breakdown.
Oh, you were at hometown week. You were supposed to be seen before the airport hangar.
Yeah. But I did get a little sneak peek into where his mind was at and to kind of what he was thinking. I will say this. At that point in time, I left that conversation knowing he was going to be a great bachelor, also knowing that this has been really hard for him emotionally, and very curious to see how it ends up.
Well, he had to tell you that there was, did he give you names? Did you leave knowing in your mind, not because he actually said somebody's name, did you leave in your mind knowing he was going to pick?
At the end, no.
No.
This week, yes, it was a shock to me. What happened?
Wait. At the end of this past episode, like as in like hometown episodes, you were shocked because you thought he was going to keep Maria around?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. Very interesting.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. But I'm really terrible television because I've done three different filmings with the show now. Four, and none of them have aired. I am a dud. Like, they bring me in to literally, I don't know what my role is there, to fill space, to like do entertainment. I don't know what it is, but I watch and I go, I think this is when I was there. Oh, maybe not.
Ben, what? This obviously you're fantastic TV, but this has happened a lot in the past year for you.
It's been a while.
And you take time and you fly to LA for it. You stay overnight for two nights and then.
Yeah. For Joey, I would do it. I'm happy. I was happy to do it. For Gary, happy to do it. Not even a problem. Not even an issue. I was happy to do it. I still am. I look at it and go, hey, I don't, you know what? Honestly, at this point, it's not that big a deal. But I will say, I left that conversation going, this is going to be a good season. And it has been. And we'll be back next week breaking down another episode
of The Bachelor. So fast.
Fantasy Suites next week. We'll be breaking it down right here on the Almost Famous podcast. So until next time, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Child-proofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.